So bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence among us. We recognize your presence, Holy Spirit of God. We ask that you would help us, that we, as we're in your presence, that we might be careful about our thoughts and our desires, that we might truly hear what you have for us today from your word. We ask that you would help us to remember that you make promises and you keep your promises. Others don't, but you do. And we thank you for the wonderful truth today of the promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would bless these students. We thank you for their commitment to follow Jesus, their seriousness about swearing allegiance to follow you as Lord and Savior. We pray that they might be blessed all the days of their life. So today we pray for those who may have come among us who do not know Jesus. We pray that they might be awakened out of the deadness of their sin and hear the voice of Jesus and be saved. We thank you for the red letter words of Jesus. We thank you for these words that are life and peace and hope to us all. And how we pray that we might be a people in this place who accomplish your purposes, not ours, but yours. Have your way with us today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll find your place in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. This morning we continue thinking about the precious promises that Jesus has given to us all. So take your copy of God's Word and find your place. You know, really, truly, we're all helpless people. We need someone to help us. We need someone to help us when we're young. We need someone to help us in the middle years of life. We need someone to help us when we're old. We're all helpless. And we're thankful that the Lord Jesus knew he'd be ascending to heaven, but he didn't leave us here without help. He sent the Holy Spirit of God. And today we talk about the very importance of our helper, the Holy Spirit. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word. We're going to read beginning in John chapter 14. And we're going to read the three times where Jesus talks about our helper, the Holy Spirit. And then we'll take just a moment and think about a few of these truths as they apply to us in our spiritual life. The red letter words of Jesus, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. He's speaking now to his disciples. He's about to leave and die on the cross and be separated from them. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be, please notice this word, in you. Then we read in verse number 26, Jesus comes back again to say something else about the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then we go to chapter 16, and we begin reading in verse number 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Now, Heavenly Father, we stand before you, and some of these words are still a mystery to us. We do not understand all of your ways, but we know the promise you have made, and you have sent the Holy Spirit to be in those who have been born again. And we thank you for the promise of maintaining your relationship with us forever, and how it starts here on the earth with the blessed Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Help us to learn a little bit about this today. Help us to linger and pause and rejoice in this sweet promise, the promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the promised Helper is the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to have a real relationship with Him that's as real as the person you're sitting next to today. Just as real. He promises that through the Holy Spirit. He promises to do something inside of us to change us. Now, He doesn't change our... Every one of us has our own personality and our own way that the work of the Holy Spirit shows itself up in our life. Sometimes, some of us, our personality is we get excited and we shout and we sing. Some are more quiet. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit comes to be inside of all of us. It's the promise of Jesus for all of you who know Jesus to have now a relationship with God through having the Holy Spirit inside of you. But before we do that, notice what Jesus, how He describes the Holy Spirit. He calls Him the Helper, the person who's alongside you. That's what the word means. Someone who stays with you. That's the kind of help we need. Somebody to stay with us when it's hard. When somebody at school's on you, when everybody else rejects you, the Holy Spirit stays with the Christian. He walks with you. He's the Helper. He's also called in these verses the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of holiness. Wherever the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, shows up, listen, He draws people to be holy like God is holy. He is the Holy Spirit. There's no sin in the Spirit. There's no wickedness or darkness in the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, the one who is the Spirit of holiness. Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. Notice that in your Bibles. In verse number 17, the Spirit of truth. You see, when the Spirit comes, He aligns Himself with the truth of God, and He wants us to know it. Oh, listen, this is the most important thing I can say to you today. I'm not only preaching on this today, but I experience it in my own life every day. Jesus' promise is real. I'm just one of many who experience what I'm about to talk to you about. So the question is, Jesus, remember these disciples, they've been with Jesus physically. They've been with Him wherever they go. They never were separated from Jesus physically, but now He's given them the word, I'm going to be gone. And Jesus says, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. These disciples who were with Jesus in your Bible here, they had to learn to live with in a relationship with God like we live in a relationship with God, by faith. So we talk about the Holy Spirit because, listen, you can't be a Christian without what I'm talking about today, the promise of the Holy Spirit. You can't grow as a Christian without the promise of the Holy Spirit. You can't understand your Bible without the promise of the Holy Spirit. You cannot make decisions that are wise without the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gave us here four very simple but powerful truths about the Holy Spirit. And if you've come to Jesus and you've been born again, these things are true for you. This one, the Holy Spirit of God, these things are now for you. They're promises for you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit remains in us. Look at this. We'll read it again quickly. Verse 16, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may be with you. But He goes on. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. You see, the world, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, they think we're crazy talking about this Spirit. But you see, when you come to know Jesus, you know the Spirit because He abides with you and He will be in you. He's inside of you. I've said this to the church, and I want to say it to you again today. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are now possessed by God the Holy Spirit. That means now on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God affects the way you think. He affects your desires. He affects your emotions. He's changed you into a new person. And because of that, the Holy Spirit of God now, as you live for Jesus, as you grow, He takes more and more control. You used to be angry about these things. Your anger goes away. You used to desire to do some of those bad things in your life, but the desire's changing. You used to talk in terrible ways, but you don't do it anymore. Something on the inside is possessing you, is changing you. And it all happened when you said yes to Jesus by faith and trusted Him. There's an old song, an old Welsh hymn. Think what the Spirit dwells in you. Think what Spirit dwells in you. I want you to think about it for just a moment. I can't go long here, but here's what Paul said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything about your spiritual life. You're not on your own anymore. If you're one of our students, if you're one of our senior adults, wherever you are in life, you're not alone. Wherever you go, think of this. Those of us who are all born again in this place, the Spirit of God now remains in you. He helps you because He's in you. And I know, and you know, a lot of things in my life need to change. And that's where it starts. The third thing I want you to see is this. The Holy Spirit helps us by teaching us. We need teachers. We need to understand the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look in your Bible in verse number 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that is said. Now let's pause just for a moment. Think about this. These disciples were hearing these words from Jesus. There was no recording of Jesus' words. They didn't have any computers to write this stuff down. They had no means. Most of them were, if literate at all, their literacy was very low. And Jesus says such an astounding thing here. He says to this first group of disciples, not only is the Holy Spirit going to teach you, He's going to bring back to your mind everything I've said. Did you read it in the verse? He will bring to your remembrance A-L-L. What's that word? What's that word? Everything Jesus said. Here we are. John said, if I'd put all the books together that could be written about the sayings of Jesus, the world couldn't contain them. So these red letter words you have in your Bible, where did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Holy Spirit brought all of these experiences in the life of Jesus back to their minds supernaturally, and they wrote them down, and here we are in 2018, able to hear them preached and taught and read them for ourselves and experience the same thing they did. I want you to take your Bible for just a moment, and I'm mindful of our time, but I must show you this in 1 Corinthians 2, because this is so very important for us to understand. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? How does the Holy Spirit teach us? Go over and find 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at these wonderful words beginning in verse number 9. It's a promise from the Old Testament, just as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Wait a minute, you got to pause. What we haven't seen with our eyes, what we haven't heard with our ears, about all that God has promised to prepare for us, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Because the Spirit, verse 10, searches all the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, pay attention now, stay with me. The thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. You say, I wish I could just know what God wants to do. You can. Because the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Oh, read on. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we know the things freely given to us by God. Who tells them to you? The Holy Spirit. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Look at this, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You know what your Bible is? Your Bible is a collection of spiritual thoughts from God put in spiritual words. And I found it all of my life. I found it with students who come to know Jesus, boys and girls who come to know Jesus, and old people who come to know Jesus. Before the church ever starts its work of discipling and training them, all of a sudden, because there's somebody new inside of them, they change their desires. They say, I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I want to read my Bible. I want to know what's in this book. I want to understand these words. And every time they read them, they say things like this. These words are so different. These words go deep inside. I can't forget these words. No, because the Holy Spirit starts to take these words and put them in your heart and mind. So we learn today that Jesus teaches us that even though we have good teachers, even though we have good preachers and all the rest, and everybody helps us, our teacher is the Holy Spirit. Our teacher is the Holy Spirit because He is inside of us. Another thing I must say to you is that the Holy Spirit helps us. And this is sometimes hard, but you must understand this. The Holy Spirit helps us by exposing the sin that's in us. Look at this. Chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, just for a moment. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage if I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you, and He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. This word convict means to expose. So when I was a 9-year-old boy and I came to know Jesus Christ, before I came to know Jesus Christ as a 9-year-old boy, I was a liar. At 9 years old, I was disrespectful to my parents. When I was 9 years old, I was a thief. I'd been to stores and I had taken things that I wasn't supposed to take. Liar. Disrespectful to my parents, a thief, and I was mean to my sisters, even though they deserved it. I was mean. I was a sinner. And when I heard about Jesus as a 9-year-old boy, I'd been in church my whole life, like some of you. But one day, it was like the lights came on. And I heard about Jesus. And I was drawn and attracted. And I knew that I needed help. I needed some way to help me from being a liar and a thief and doing all of these things in my life. He exposed in me. He showed me my sin. He showed me what it meant to be really righteous and to live a right kind of life through Jesus. And He showed me that judgment was coming if I did not believe on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you in this room have experienced the same thing, and you should be glad because you are experiencing a promise kept by Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of us when we come to know Jesus as Savior. He's inside of you. He possesses you. Each day you must ask Him to fill you, to control you, so you don't go back to those old ways. He is our teacher. He brings back to our minds things that we have learned. He brings back a verse from the Word of God. He brings it back to us at just the right time, just the right place, when you need it the most. He's the teacher. He's always teaching us. He's always reminding us of God's Word. And He keeps exposing in us. The more we walk with Jesus, the more He exposes things in our life that aren't pleasing. How many times has this happened to me and happened to you who know Jesus? I've done something, or let's use it this way, I've spoken to someone in a way that I shouldn't have. Maybe I was harsh, or maybe I was short, or someone in my family, whatever it may be. I go on about my day after I've done that. I go home at night and I'm going to pray, and as I start to pray, you know the only thing I can remember is how ugly and mean I was to that person. Who brought it up? Who made me think about that? The Holy Spirit. He opens your mind. He reminds you of those things that don't make you like Jesus. Finally, one last thing. The Holy Spirit helps us by leading us. Look, we all have an idea about what we want to do and where we want to go, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will speak, not on His own initiative, but He speaks whatever He hears. So the Holy Spirit in me, teaching me, showing me how I've sinned and done things I ought not to do, He finally guides me. This is so wonderful. All through the Bible we have these examples of how the Lord guides. In fact, Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. By the way, what I'm talking about is the normal experience of anybody who's born again. If you can't identify with what I'm talking about in the work of the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Whatever you may have, whatever you may feel and hold on to religiously, this is the normal work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Jesus promised. And many of us in this room know this to be true. This is the deep work. This is the work. This is the work that goes on all through my life. This is the process of the Holy Spirit of God making us more like Jesus. He's in us. He possesses now and takes over our emotions and our wills and our desires. He gives us, as we surrender and yield to Him, He shows us which way to go. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. I love this. Acts 8:29. Philip was told by the Spirit. Let me just read it. Acts 8:29. The Spirit said to Philip, go get on the chariot. Now that doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? The Spirit told him to go get on the chariot where a man was reading the book of Isaiah about Jesus. The Spirit told him, go get on the chariot. Peter said in Acts 11:12, when he was talking about going to Cornelius' house, the Gentile, the Spirit told me to go be with them. Acts chapter 16, verse 7, this strange time in Paul's ministry, wanted to go to Asia. They were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Oh, I wish I could say more, but you will find this to be true in your life if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because He's in you, because He teaches you, because He exposes sin to you all the days of your life to make you more like Jesus, He then shows you the way to live. I want to close with one of my most favorite verses in all my life. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. Not very familiar verses. But these verses remind us of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives every day. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. Although the Lord, this is Isaiah talking to the children of Israel who were living and experiencing the judgment of God in their lives, although, because they weren't disobedient, they weren't obedient. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself. Your eyes will behold your teacher. Now this is my phrase for you as we close. Your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you This is the way. Walk in it. You'll hear something. You, in the midst of all the noise of life and everybody's opinions and the chaos and the hate and the struggles and the pressures and the troubles and the pains, trying to get some idea of what we're supposed to do in our life, you hear a voice. The Holy Spirit says, this is the way. Don't go that way. Don't do that anymore. Don't walk with those people anymore. Don't read and look at that anymore. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. It's the way the Holy Spirit leads us. All the teenagers just woke up from their sleep. They've been awake a long time. So as we finish today, can I ask you this? Have you experienced the things I've just talked about? This is the normal way the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He comes inside of you. The Lord desires to have a deeper relationship with you than any physical relationship you have this day. The Holy Spirit activates us so that we want to worship and praise God. The Holy Spirit makes us want to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit changes our desire to want to pray. The Holy Spirit adjusts us to want to be with God's people. So you say, Pastor Mike, I know I'm born again, but I don't feel any of that anymore. Well, you've walked away. You've wandered away from God, haven't you? You don't hear the voice anymore saying, this is the way. Walk in it. You've drifted away from God. And the Holy Spirit keeps reminding you, you know, you really ought not to be living like that. You know, that's really not what Jesus would want you to do. You should always thank the Lord that you feel and sense conviction in your life. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit is in you. You see, sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you ever made somebody in your family that you love sad? Sure. When we sin, we make the Holy Spirit sad. When we sin as a church, we make the Holy Spirit sad. But we can confess our sin and experience the renewal of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what I wish for you more than anything else? That you would experience the truth of this promise. You know, nobody else can do this for you. Your spiritual life is what it is because it's what you've made it. If you choose to follow Jesus, you've got to be serious about it. If you choose to listen to God's word, you must obey it. You must have the courage to be a follower of Jesus in a world of haters and blamers and broken, lost people. And let the power of the Holy Spirit come out of you. You'll say things you didn't know you could say. You'll remember and think things you never thought you'd think. It's the way Jesus promised. May I read it one more time, and then we're through. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know Him because He abides with you, and He will be in you. So the Spirit says to you this morning, hey, this is the way. Go this way. Isn't it interesting that the voice Isaiah said was from behind? You know why? Because we get so far ahead of God. We've got our own ways we want to go. We've got our own desires we want to do. We get ahead of God. So the Lord says, don't go that way. Go this way. Students, you're going to have to decide now which way you're going to go. You have to decide now and be courageous enough to live against the crowd. The crowd's not for Jesus. The crowd doesn't care anything about the Bible or what we're talking about. The crowd really doesn't care about you. But Jesus does. So we come to Him. We put our hearts and our lives in His hands. We surrender ourselves as His people, and we call Him Lord. And then something inside of you will change. I promise you. Inside, you'll change. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let Him have His perfect work. And for all of you adults here, the same is true for you. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. That's our word today. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this good day today. We thank You for the truth of Your word and the promises of Jesus. We're going to need them, Lord. We're going to need these promises. And we thank You, Lord, for this promise kept. I thank You, Lord, for the many, many people through all the generations since Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. How I pray today for those who are here today who need to tell this church that they've been saved and have trusted Christ. How I pray for others of us to confess our sin and in our brokenness come back and say, Lord, I want to be closer to You. I want to walk with You. I want to follow You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for doing Your work today and glorifying Jesus. May we seek to follow and honor Him ourselves. But would you stand, please? We're going to sing. And as we sing, some may need to make public decisions today to follow Jesus or join this church or come and say, I'm ready to be baptized, whatever it may be. As we sing, we invite you to.